The month of January is named after the Roman god Janus, a god who has two faces. One face looks backward and the other looks forward. So every January, like the Roman goddess, we look back over the past year and we look forward to the coming year, vowing to make resolutions this time we will keep. We resolve to do that because it's a new year and we want to be new too. So we will have a balanced checkbook, thinner thighs in 30 days. We determined to stop smoking, control our temper, be less impatient and more kind. No more chocolate shall pass over these lips until we get those thinner thighs. We walk through our lives room by room, drawing up a list of work to be done. Closets that need to be cleansed, cracks that need to be painted, leaks that need to be fixed. Within days of the New Year's resolutions, they probably join last year's resolutions. Across the country, there will be millions of cigarettes waiting to be stomped out, tons of fat waiting to be lost, miles to be run, lives to be organized, selves to be improved. With that in mind, let me ask a question. How can you have a true new year? Is it by making New Year's resolutions? And I think all of us would say from experience, that's better said than done. So let me ask, what is the biblical answer? What is the biblical view of changing our behavior? Think about that. That's really a rather intriguing question. In the first place, from a biblical point of view, the ultimate change needs to be conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. All other changes are minor and maybe even superficial by comparison. So the real question is, how can I be truly new in the new year? I'd like to take a stab at answering that, beginning with a verse in Romans chapter 8. So will you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? I'm going to get there in a minute. But while you're turning, I'd like to say something in preparation for that. What I'd like to say is this. The Bible teaches that we have a new nature. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have a new nature. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way." Now that verse is saying that we are sinners. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. Think about the verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's by nature. We have turned each one to his own way. That is by choice. So the Bible teaches that we are sinners. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. We need to be changed if we're going to be really new. But we have to begin with the understanding that we have an old sinful nature. Time changes, but people do not. We have the same nature year after year after year. That's why New Year's resolutions don't work. It doesn't grapple with the basic nature that we have. Time changes. People do not. I have a pastor friend in Minnesota who taught me years ago, people change, but not much. And that's true, isn't it? Well, those of us who know the Lord are aware that we have a new nature. When we trust Jesus Christ, we are given a new nature. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Matter of fact, Peter says, we are partakers of the divine nature. So my point is simply this. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have a new nature. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me illustrate. Worms, by nature, crawl. They do not fly. They cannot fly. They don't have the nature of a bird. They cannot fly. So, we are like worms when we are born in the sense that we crawl and we don't fly. What happens at conversion is God makes us butterflies. So now we have the nature, the capacity. That's another word for nature. We have the capacity to fly. Now that's the background for the verse I want to share with you in Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but they who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, this gives us two options. One is that we can live according to the flesh, that old nature, that old capacity that we had. Or we can live according to this new nature that God has given us. Now, I want to explore that. I want to delve into that because I think embedded in this is the key to spiritual growth. At least it gives us some concept of spiritual growth we need to understand. I want to focus for a minute on the little phrase, set their minds. The Greek word that's translated minds in this verse is a very, very full word. It means, according to one Greek authority, your mind, your emotions, and even your volition or your will. Another authority says it also includes your assumptions, your values, and your purposes. This is really a very, very full word. So that those who live according to the flesh set their minds, their emotions, their mind, their will on living according to the flesh. And those who set their minds, their emotions, their mind, their will on the things of the Spirit, then grow spiritually. So here is our problem. We now, who know the Lord, have two capacities, two natures. One is you can live like that old nature. You can live according to the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, are you not carnal, the word means flesh, and walk as men? He means unsaved men. So here's the situation. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have a new nature and old habits. Amen. That's our problem. We brought those old habits with us even when we came to have a new nature in Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do to be new? In one sense, we're already new. We already have a new capacity. But what do we need to grow in that capacity? Later in the book of Romans, Paul speaks about renewing your mind. Now, actually, that's a different Greek word there than in Romans 8. But he talks about renewing this man, which is included in Romans 8, verse 5. So what I'd like to do is suggest this. What we need to do to be new is to renew. We need to renew the various aspects of our person. Each of these needs to be renewed so that we can be new. For example, we need to renew our emotions. Matter of fact, I'm going to suggest that it probably begins and ends there. That we do what we want to do, do we not? Right? So maybe what we need to do is change at an emotional level that says, I'm going to change my wanter. I'm going to focus on the things of the spirit instead of the things of the flesh. Instead of focusing on guilt or fear or anger, I'm going to focus on love, joy, and peace. I'm going to be renewed emotionally. Let's go back to the illustration of the worm and the butterfly. It's almost like being a butterfly and saying, I want to crawl. I mean, isn't that what we're saying? We have the capacity to fly, walk in the spirit, and live at a higher level. And yet, we have this old capacity and we want, because of our old habits, to crawl. Isn't that what's going on? So to be a new you, you've got to renew the emotion that says, I want to fly. That's what I'm saying. So to be a new you in the new year, you need renewal of your emotions. There's more. As I mentioned, this word mind includes your thought life as well as your emotional life. I mentioned a minute ago, Romans 12, 2, that says you need to have the renewing of your mind. And that word actually means your understanding. So this is not a matter of cramming information in your brain. It's a matter of assimilating that information and understanding it. Now, here's the problem. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So what we need to do is understand God's ways. We need to so assimilate the scripture that we understand what God's ways are. When the scripture talks about the way of the Spirit, it includes the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about the things of the Spirit, and in that context, it's very clearly the things of the Word of God. So in Romans 8, 5, he says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, and we should add, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. See that last phrase, the things of the Spirit? That includes the Word of God. We set our minds on the Scripture. The things of the Spirit, as I said, is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of the Scripture. So we set our minds on the Word. You are what you think about all day long. Right? Right. So if you're thinking about all the negative things, what's going to happen? You're going to end up with a very negative attitude. And if you think about spiritual things, what's going to happen? Lo and behold, you might actually grow spiritually. So where does it come from? It comes from the way you think and what you think about determines the way you think. So you need to be transformed, Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind. So being new in the new year is not making some kind of New Year's resolution. That works, at least for a while and for some people. But to really be new, you need to be renewed mentally, rationally, by the way you think. And that is an all-day process. It's not some resolution you make once. It's the way you think all the time. The psalmist says, meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. That's a Jewish expression. It means all the time you're awake. So from the minute you wake up in the morning till you go to bed at night, your mind drifts toward the scripture. When a situation comes up, you automatically think, what is the biblical thing to do in this situation? It is a way of thinking. As a matter of fact, I think it can be said that in a sense, there's more involved, but in a sense, the spiritual life is a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking spiritually. Isn't what this verse in Romans 8 says? They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Spiritually, it's spiritually minded. You are thinking God's thoughts after Him. So the issue comes down to, what do you really think? What do you understand about the will and wisdom of God? So to go back to my illustration, it's like being a butterfly and saying, well, I remember when I was a worm and I prefer to crawl. You say, well, that would be ridiculous if you could fly. That's right. But isn't that what we do? We have the capacity to fly and we crawl. We have the capacity to love, to be joyful. And we crawl around in angerness and bitterness and wrath. We crawl instead of fly because we think that's what I prefer to do. That's what I want to do. That is our problem. On several occasions, I've talked to husbands who were mistreating their wives. Now, I gave them some biblical information on what the scripture says about how to treat your wife, and they apparently understood what I meant, but they didn't change. They didn't change. They still kept mistreating their wives. And I have on occasion scratched my head and said, what's going on? And in some of those situations, I decided they grew up in a culture where the man was macho. And they learned some way to treat a woman from their background. And though they became Christians and though they understood some things about the scripture, they really didn't change the way they thought when it came to how to treat a wife. They really needed a renewed mind. They needed to change their thinking. They needed to change their understanding so that they operated on an entirely different plane. They would fly instead of crawl. So I'm simply suggesting, you want to be a new you in the new year? Then you've got to have renewed emotions and a renewed mind. There's a third thing. As I mentioned, this word translated mind really involves all that is within you. It involves your emotions. It involves your mind. It involves your will, your choices. So that the scripture teaches to have a new you, you need to make new choices. A minute ago, I quoted 1 Corinthians 3:3, where Paul said, "Are you not carnal? Do you not walk as men? You behave as men." Now, he's describing what they're doing, but doesn't that involve a choice? Matter of fact, he uses the word behave in that verse. So the idea is, I am making a choice. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This passage expands on Romans 8:5. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now, notice, right in the middle of this passage, he talks about having your mind renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? So we're talking about, in this passage, what I'm talking about today and what's in Romans 8:5, that we be renewed. But notice that there is volition involved. So he says, verse 22, "put off." Now that's beyond thinking. That's beyond changing your mind. That's volitional. Then he says, "put on" in verse 24. Now that's the principle. He then gives a number of specifics. The one I read was in verse 25. "Put away lying and speak truth." That's a decision. That's a volition. That is something you decide to do. So, to go back to my worm butterfly analogy, you say as a butterfly, "I prefer to fly. I choose to fly. I used to think it was better to crawl. I used to want to crawl. Now I want to fly. I think it's better to fly, and I choose to fly." Let me ask you a question. Are you happy? All the time? Some of the time? Rarely? How would you like to be a happy person this coming year? All the time. Would you like that? All right, let me talk about how to get there, which really gets at what I'm trying to say today. Abraham Lincoln said, "A man is as happy as he chooses to be." Is that true? When I was teaching years ago, there were two psychiatrists on the faculty of the seminary that wrote a book entitled, "Happiness is a Choice." Is happiness a choice? If it's a choice, you can be happy next year. If you are a captain of circumstances, then it's beyond you and you can't, right? But if it is a choice, hallelujah, I can do that. There is a Jewish talk show host on the radio named Dennis Prager. You ever heard of Dennis Prager? Last week I was in my car, and every Friday he has a an hour he dedicates to happiness. He calls it the happiness hour. I thought the happiness hour was at 10:30 on Sunday morning. But anyway, he says, and I've heard him say this before, but he reminded me, I heard him again last week, that happiness is a moral issue. Boy, that's putting it pretty heavy, isn't it? It's a moral issue. And he argues that it's a moral issue not just for you, but for those who live around you, that you're morally obligated to them to be happy. That interesting. Now, what I'm really after is this. Happiness is a choice. It's a moral issue. You can choose to rejoice in the Lord. That puts it biblically. You can choose to rejoice in the Lord. Or you can choose to wallow in the mess you is in. That's the option. I know a lady who is a counselor, and some years ago I was bouncing this concept off of her, said, "Do you believe that happiness is a choice?" And she said to me, "Yes, I do, provided that you keep making the choice." And her point was, you don't make it once and it cover the year. You have to make it every day. And maybe several times during the day. Paul commands us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, he says, rejoice. He really wants to make a point out of the fact that we should rejoice. Well, you say, well, that's easy when things are going my way. I can do that. No, 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 no. The trick is to do it when things aren't going your way. That's living on a higher plane. That's a spiritual life. Anybody can crawl to fly. You have to learn to rejoice when things are not to your liking. That's James chapter 1, where he says, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials. So when you're being tried, when there's pressure, when things are not going your way, if you can rejoice then, you have learned to fly, my friend. You've learned to fly. So let me give you a challenge for the new year. Want to be a new you? Well, maybe we should ask this. Are there parts of you that need to be new? Boy, that was weak. Do we need to be new?
Yes.
I'm not asking for a New Year's resolution. That's too simple. I'm asking for something a lot deeper, and so is the Lord. What I think you need to do is focus on how can I have, throughout the year, renewed emotions, renewed thought life, and renewed choices. That will make you a new you. And if you consistently worked at that, I think you would be shocked and surprised at how much you would grow in the next year. I think you would discover that you could really fly instead of just crawl. So, the way to have a new year is to have a new nature and be constantly renewed by having new emotions, a new mindset, and new decisions. Those whose emotions delight in the Lord, whose minds meditate on the Word of God, and whose choices do what it says will be living according to the Spirit. They'll be flying. Now, one more time, look at that verse in Romans chapter 8. Only this time, don't look at verse 5, look at verse 6. Romans chapter 5 says, Romans chapter 8 says in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Would you like to have life? I mean real life. Then walk according to the Spirit. Be spiritually minded, and you will experience the life of God. You will experience that peace, which is that internal harmony and tranquility. You will experience spiritual life. So, changing the calendar does not really change anything. On a smaller scale, it would be like saying, I'm going to fly across the country and change the time zone. Changing the time zone doesn't change you. So changing the calendar on the wall or the watch on your wrist does not change you. It's an inside job, and it primarily deals with your emotions, your thought life, and your decisions. You don't need a new you. I'm sorry, you don't need a new year, you need a new you. You need to decide, I am going to soar spiritually. I'm going to decide now to fly and not crawl. Amen? Got it? Well, before I close, I have to tell you one more thing. Those of you who hear me all the time are not going to be surprised by this, but I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're talking about being transformed, by being renewed. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The New Testament only uses the word transform twice. Once in Romans 12, 2. Be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. And it uses it again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. So, look at this verse. This verse is one of the most important verses in all of the Bible on the spiritual life. We all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We look in the Scripture. We see the way God thinks. We specifically see His Son. And we look, we think about that. And as we do, we are transformed into that same image, step by step, from one glory to another. And it's all by the work of the Spirit of God. And that's why I had you turn to this verse. I'm telling you to renew your emotions, to renew your mindset, to renew your choices, but it's all by the Spirit of God. And isn't that what Romans 8:5 is saying? That those who live according to the Spirit, that ultimately we must be dependent on the Lord. So we need to cry out constantly, Lord, I need your grace. I need your help. You have to give me the grace to have the right attitude as well as the right actions in my life. So the way to have a new you in the new year is to have renewed emotions, renewed thought life, renewed choices by being dependent on the Spirit of God to give you the power to do it. Amen. And amen. So let me ask you a question. Have you put your finger on something that needs to be changed? Has the Lord put his finger on something in your heart? An attitude? A thought life? A decision? Well, just know, you can't do it without him. I remember once talking with a lady who desperately wanted to do things differently. She had made a mess of her life. She desperately needed to do things differently. And yet, she had failed. So she sat down and poured out her heart to me. And in desperation, she said to me, and I quote, "Only the Lord can change me." Now, what she meant by that is that she couldn't change herself. Now, you can make minor changes, but if the ultimate goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ and to be like him, only the Lord can change you to do that. So go into the new year determined to be dependent upon the only one who can really make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit, and you've given us your Son as the goal. May those things be a new reality to us. We live according to them. Give us a new year, but make us new in the new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.